particular scripture reading, when the Apostle Paul is writing the book of Galatians, he says that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. I've entitled our lesson this morning, Even Barnabas. And I want us to consider this great text of scripture for our admonition today. It's good to see you. It's good to be here. It's good to spend some time worshiping God. And I hope we can spend some time in His Word now, encouraging us to be the best Christian that we can be, or to obey the gospel if we need to do that. You know, in the Bible, both in the Old and New Testament, God's Word never covers up the mistakes and the misjudgments and the missteps of God's people. And we have a case of that in Noah. Noah got drunk, and the Bible records that. And David committed the sin of Bathsheba, and the Bible records that. And Judas betrayed the Lord, and Peter denied the Lord. And even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. And so we find that even God's people can be doing something that they shouldn't do. And I want us to take this text of Scripture this morning to encourage us to be faithful to the Lord. In our scripture reading here in Galatians chapter 2, Paul is writing about some events that likely took place right after the meeting in Acts chapter 15, the meeting in Jerusalem around AD 50. And we find here in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, that there was an occasion in which Peter was associating with Gentiles like he should have. But when some Jews showed up, he backed off and acted like he didn't want to be with them. And so he acted hypocritically, because God saves Jews and Gentiles in the exact same way. All of them are saved if they will obey the gospel. We need to have fellowship with all of them. But Peter backed away. Well, not only did Peter back away, but other Jews did with him. And even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. When you see that little word even Barnabas, your thought is that this man is a great man. And Barnabas was a great man. But even this great man on this occasion did something that he shouldn't have done. And I want us to think about that this morning. We can be the best Christian that we're trying to be, but even so-and-so can find themselves doing such-and-such. And it's amazing that a great person can find themselves in this situation. It would be like if we were talking about something that happened in the church and somebody said, well, you know, even Roger did that. You know, or even Ramona did that, or even Chris did that. The point is, we would not expect this. If I said even Linda did it, we've got three Lindas here, you just pick whichever one you want and go with that. The point is that even this person did such and such. It's unexpected. This is not supposed to be. This is not normal. That's the idea there. And that's the idea that I want us to understand this morning. Knowing how things work and learning from this passage of Scripture, we can apply them in our lives today to keep ourselves from going down that same path. Let's talk about how that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. I want to do two things with you this morning. I want us to go back, if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 4 and verse 36. Acts 4, 36. Let's go back and let's just review briefly the life of Barnabas. Let's see what kind of man he was. Let's see what kind of character he had. And then in the second part of our lesson this morning, some lessons for us today. Let's go back and look at the man Barnabas, this son of encouragement, this son of exhortation. What do we know about him from sacred scripture? And what can we learn about him from this situation in Galatians 2, that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy? Well, we're first introduced to Barnabas in Acts chapter 4, when the church was in need. And there were needy saints in the church at Jerusalem. And people were giving of their personal means to make sure that the needy saints were taken care of. When we're first introduced to Barnabas, it's Barnabas the giver. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 36, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which being interpreted son of exhortation, a Levite, a man of Cyprus by race, having a field, sold it then, brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So we find that he's a giver. We find that he's a generous man. We find that he wants to share. He's mindful of his brethren in the local church, as we should all be. He was mindful of their needs. He wasn't selfish. He didn't just hoard it all to himself. Kyle talked about the blessings that God gives us. And so he wanted to pass on those blessings to others. What a great man this is. And we need to be like that in our lives, being generous and giving and sacrificial and serving others. We're next introduced to Barnabas, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 9, after Paul has been converted to Christ. Come with me to Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. When Paul wanted to join himself to the Christians there in Jerusalem, they were skeptical of him because they were not aware of his conversion. They knew that he was a persecutor of the church, but they didn't know that he had been changed. And so rightly so, they're a little skeptical. And it took Barnabas to help him. And so in Acts chapter 9 and verse 26, when he, Paul, or Saul, came to Jerusalem, he attempted to join himself to the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. We find Barnabas the defender. Here is a man who's willing to put his name and his character on the line for the Apostle Paul. He was willing to put himself out there and be vulnerable and put himself out and go to the apostles and say, look, I vouch for this man. This man has seen the Lord. This man has turned his life around. He didn't take this approach in the local church of, well, I'm just going to keep to my own business and I don't want to get involved in other people's affairs and that's not really my place and things like that. He put his neck on the line, so to speak, to get out there and say, look, I know some truths about this man and I want to speak up and I want you to know that he's a good man. And as a result, Saul was able to work among that church at Jerusalem, going in and going out and doing great things in that church. So Barnabas the defender, what a great man. Turn with me to Acts chapter 11, where we find about him again. In Acts chapter 11, there are some men who go preaching the gospel in Acts 11:19, and they leave and they go to a place called Antioch, and a church gets started at Antioch, and they're called Christians for the first time there at Antioch. Well, when this report of the new church, if you'll come with me to Acts chapter 11 and verse 22, when this report about a new church comes to the ears of the church at Jerusalem, they send Barnabas. Just stop right there. If you had been in the church at Jerusalem, would they have chosen you to go? Stop and think about that. Would they have chosen you to go, men, women? Are we so active, so faithful, so committed, so dedicated that we're known in the local church for of being good character, we're always faithful, we're always there, we're always serving the Lord, and brother so-and-so, he's a good person to send to this other church. Would they have sent you? Would they have sent me? Something to think about. If not, then we need to get more committed to the Lord. But this man was clearly committed, so much so that the apostles, the brethren there, the church there, they wanted to send Barnabas as far as Antioch, who, when he was come, Barnabas, and had seen the grace of God, notice how seeing the grace of God is the same thing as seeing conversions. That's interesting. He had seen the grace of God. He had seen people converted to the Lord. He, Barnabas, was glad, and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Spirit, and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. And then later he sends, and he gets Saul of Tarsus, or Paul, to come with him, and they teach, and they preach in the church there for some time to strengthen the new Christians and the new church there. We see Barnabas the exhorter. Cleave to the Lord. You can stick with it. You can stay faithful to the Lord. Barnabas the exhorter. Barnabas didn't say, well, you know, I'm busy. I don't need to go. And go all the way up there to Antioch. I've got stuff I've got to do around Jerusalem. I don't have time to go up there. I'm sure those new Christians will be fine on their own. No, he went, and he helped to build up these new Christians. That's a very important work even to this day. We need to be mindful of our new converts. Take a new convert and spend some time with them and teach them and work with them. Very, very important work. So we find Barnabas the exhorter. When you come down to the end of chapter 11, if you will, with me, chapter 11, verse 29 and 30, a prophet prophesies that there's going to be a famine and it's going to affect the brethren in Judea. And so the new Christians there in Antioch, they're a new church, by the way. They didn't say, well, we're a new church, so we're not going to be giving. They were a new church and they were giving to help these needy brethren. And in verse 30, they sent the money by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. And at the end of chapter 12, Acts 12, 25, Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministration. So they went and they took this money to needy saints in Judea and helped them and served them. The next time we find Barnabas, turn with me to chapter 13 and verse 1, we find Barnabas, the traveling gospel preacher. Chapter 13, verse 1, now there was at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon and these other men. And Barnabas ends up joining the Apostle Paul, and they go on Paul's first preaching trip from Antioch. And in chapters 13 and 14, you read about Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas. And they're out preaching the gospel to Jews and Gentiles, and they're saving the lost. We find Barnabas, the gospel preacher. In fact, it's their work here in Acts chapter 13 and 14 that they're going to bring up later in Acts 15. They're going to talk about how that we had been in these places in Acts 13 and 14 and how Gentiles are being saved. Miracles are being wrought by the hands of Paul, and Gentiles are being saved. And Barnabas is going to look back on this occasion in which he had traveled with Paul, not for sightseeing, not for vacation, not for downtime, but traveling to save the lost. And what a great commitment that was on his part. Come with me now to Acts chapter 15. When this preaching tour is over with, there is a meeting in Jerusalem to talk about these Jews that had been going about saying that you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. Look at Acts 15 and verse 5. There were some Jews from Jerusalem who were saying that you have to be circumcised and follow the law or keep the law of Moses in order to be saved. And so Paul and Barnabas, they go to Jerusalem to discuss this matter. So the next time that we're introduced to Barnabas is when he and Barnabas go to Jerusalem. And he's committed for the truth. He stands up for the truth. As they begin to talk about this matter in Acts chapter 15, Peter goes first in verse 7. And then look with me at verse 12. Peter talks about how that he had gone to the household of Cornelius, a Gentile, and how that they were saved without the law of Moses. Look at verses 12 and 13, or 12. Paul and Barnabas stand up and they talk about how that the Gentiles had been saved without keeping the law of Moses or circumcision. Verse 12, Acts 15, verse 12, it's talking about the work that they had done back in Acts 13 and 14. Paul and Barnabas had gone throughout various places of Galatia and other places, and they had saved people without any circumcision or keeping the law of Moses. So the text says in verse 12 that the multitude kept silence, and they hearkened unto Barnabas and Paul. Both of them were speaking. Barnabas spoke up in Acts 15. He spoke up. He was committed. And they were rehearsing what signs and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles through them. Barnabas was a part of that great work of saving Gentiles without the law of Moses. And on this occasion, he's standing up publicly, talking with Paul. Hey, look, guys, Peter has gotten done talking. And Peter has let us know that the Gentiles are saved without the law. Let me tell you something. Paul and I, we traveled around in Acts 13 and 14. And these Gentiles are saved without the law. I'm telling you that this is the way it is. Notice his commitment. Notice his courage. Notice his stand for the truth. Very, very important. And so he's clearly a man of commitment and courage. Even back in verse 2, before they had come to Jerusalem, look at verse 2. When they were up in Antioch, Barnabas and Paul, my version says, had no small dissension and questioning. I like the New American Standard. They debated them. They debated them up in Antioch before they even came to Jerusalem. Barnabas, along with Paul, was a very committed individual. Very sound in the truth. Very committed in the truth. And look at verse 25. When it comes to sending out this letter as to how the Gentiles are to act, it seemed good unto us, having come to one accord, to choose out men and send them unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. These men hazarded their lives in Acts 13 and 14. Paul was stoned. These men are committed. What a great accolade and what a great description of this faithful member of the church. And so he's chosen, along with others, to take this letter. And so look at Acts 15, verse 30. They come to Antioch, they begin preaching and teaching and encouraging and confirming the brethren. We had a lesson on that recently, strengthening the brethren. Look at verse 35, but Paul and Barnabas tarried in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And it's probably this verse right here that is the setting for Galatians 2, 11 through 14, because Paul says, when Peter came to Antioch. So verses 30 through 35 is probably the occasion that we're talking about in Galatians 2. So Peter had been in Antioch with them, and he was associating with Gentiles. And when some people came from the circumcision party, Jews, he backed off and said, well, I don't want to look like I'm associating with these Gentiles. He acted hypocritically. The New American Standard uses hypocritical, which is good. The older versions talk about dissimulation, carried away by their dissimulation, dis, acting two different ways. They were hypocritical. Peter pulled away. Some others pulled away with him. And even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. A man who was a giver, who was a defender, who was an exhorter, who was a preacher, who was committed. And then, look with me at Acts chapter 15. When it came time to keep preaching and go on another preaching trip, Paul did not want to take John Mark, because back in Acts chapter 13, he had left them. Paul did not want to take him. Matter of judgment, matter of opinion. Barnabas was minded to take John in verse 37. Barnabas, verse 38, 39, 40, he set forth his case. But when it was all said and done, they agreed to disagree in a matter of judgment, and we find that Barnabas is the agreeable. We should never cave on matters of truth and error. We should never back down on matters of truth and error. But on matters of judgment, on matters of opinion, we can be agreeable and we can work together. And so Barnabas took John Mark and Paul took Silas. They kept preaching the word. They found an agreeable solution to a matter of judgment and opinion, something that some brethren today find it hard to do. What a great man this is. Now, with that as a background, turn with me back to Galatians chapter 2, and let's see what we can learn about this matter. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. This man was a great man. These six great qualities in this man. An occasion happened where even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. When I see this, brethren, the first thing I see is, with regard to a lesson, is I see that past character does not guarantee present character. Look at this man's life. Look at his past character. A giver, a defender, an exhorter, a preacher, committed, agreeable. Look at his past character. It's stellar. It's awesome. It's great. This man is awesome. This is the man you want in the local church. But his past character did not guarantee his present character. That on the moment that he needed to be what he needed to be, he was not that. So brethren, let's learn first of all this morning that we need to have great character in the Lord, but we've got to carry it with us at work and at school every day. We can't just be building on the past. Well, I used to serve the Lord this way, and I used to be this way in the church, and I used to be that way in the church. We need to be what we're supposed to be every day. You cannot argue with the fact that this was a man of great character. He just didn't bring it to the table on the day when he needed it. So let's learn to do that. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, there are things that we need to have in our life that are matters of character. But when Paul says, think on these things, he's using a present imperative. Daily think on these things. Daily have these things in your life. Daily dwell on these things. So when Paul says there, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just or right, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. Boy, Barnabas, he had a good report. It'd be hard pressed to beat his description. If there be any virtue, which means character, if there be any praise, think on these things every day. And not just think on them, but put them into practice in our lives. Past character does not guarantee present character. So we've got to have it with us all the time. And let me encourage you, brethren, to do that. If in the past I've told the truth, always do that. If in the past I have been kind and generous and giving, always do that. If in the past I've been honest, always do that. If in the past I've been committed, always do that. When you get up on Monday, have your character with you that you had last week. When you get up on Tuesday, have your character with you that you had last week and so forth. And don't think, well, all this great stuff that I've done in the past, it's just always going to be with me. It was missing on the day that he was with Peter. And even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. After standing up for the Gentiles on numerous occasions. You see? We have to always have it with us. But when I think about this passage in Galatians chapter 2, I also think about another lesson, and that is, do not underestimate the power of peer pressure and example. You know, when we preach sermons on peer pressure, the parents are thinking, okay, I hope my kids are paying attention. Right? We preach sermons on peer pressure for the teenagers. Well, peer pressure, we need to preach that for the adults also. I don't think Barnabas was a teenager. Adults can cave to peer pressure. Adults can give in to pressure at work and with neighbors and other kinds of situations. And don't underestimate the power of peer pressure. Barnabas is looking at Peter and following his hypocritical example. And he's looking at those other individuals and following their hypocritical example. And he's an adult. So yes, even adults have to be mindful of this very kind of thing. Jesus said in Luke 22, watch and pray. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You better be really careful when you're in a situation that you don't get influenced by that. And Peter, in Luke 22:54, was warming his hands where? Right. You know the answer where he was warming his hands. He's sitting with the enemy. And he's not with the Lord. Yes, evil companionships corrupt good morals. That's right. The immediate context there is people in Corinth that were influencing them to believe that there is no resurrection. That's the immediate context. But we can use that in other contexts, that evil companionships corrupt good morals. And Paul said in Galatians 1:10, am I trying to please men or am I trying to please Christ? When you get up each day, when I get up each day, we need to make a decision that we're going to serve the Lord. And we're not going to cave to peer pressure. Turn with me to Proverbs 29 and verse 25. Brethren, even the best of us can cave in to peer pressure. Even Barnabas, that's the point. Even the best of us, even those who have a stellar reputation, even those who have a noble character in the past can find themselves in a situation where they're not acting right. The fear of man brings a snare. But whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The fear of man brings a snare. And boy, it snared Barnabas. And not only Barnabas, but if you look at the Galatians 2 passage, there were some other Jews with Peter. There were some other Jews. And the rest of the Jews dissembled likewise, verse 13. Even some other Jews. Peter did it. Some other Jews did it. So here's some Jews that were affected by other Jews. And then even Barnabas was carried away by all of that. Peer pressure going on everywhere. And the great Apostle Peter, the man who stands up on the day of Pentecost, even he caves. So we must never, ever underestimate the power of peer pressure. We go into a situation thinking, oh, this is not going to affect me. And on the heat of the moment, it affects us. So knowing that, brethren, let's keep up our spiritual strength in those kinds of situations and act right the way we need to act. Along those same lines, when I look at Galatians chapter 2, I'm reminded not to put our faith and trust in men. Do not put your faith and trust in men. Even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy because he was trusting Peter, looking at Peter, looking up to Peter. Brethren, we need fellow brethren in the church to encourage us. There are men and women in the church that encourage us and that we're friends with and things like that. But at the end of the day, never ever put your faith in a man or a woman, in Christ only. Well, he's my favorite preacher. And he holds a lot of gospel meetings. And he writes in the Brotherhood papers. And he's written several books. Surely he can't be wrong. I'm going to believe what Brother So-and-so says on the marriage question or this or that, because after all, it's Brother So-and-so. I mean, do you realize who he is, Brother So-and-so? Brethren have done that for years, and it's caused them great problems. When we had the institutional split back in the 1950s, brethren would line up with this person because, it's Brother So-and-so. Do you realize who he is? He's the president of a college. So we line up with people, and we do put our faith and trust in men. Even though we say we might not do that, we do that. We must always turn to the Word of God first. We must always put our trust in Christ first. And at Corinth, it was so bad, 1 Corinthians 1:12 through 15, that some were saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Peter. Paul said, minute. Were these men crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of these men? No. Christ was crucified for us. We're baptized into the name of Christ. We're to be following Him. Well, he's my favorite preacher. And he's been a faithful elder for years. And he's been a faithful deacon for years. And elder's wife, and deacon's wife, and preacher's wife, and Bible class teacher, and Bible class teacher's wife. And so, hey, they can't do anything wrong. Anyone can sin. We don't want that. We don't like that. We're not looking for that, of course. But anyone can do that. And so it reminds me, brethren, not to put our faith and trust in men. In fact, Paul said, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. Paul said that he was preaching and teaching and writing on this matter. Now these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that in us you might learn not to go beyond the things that are written, that no one of you be puffed up for the one against another. Do not go beyond what is written. Some versions say, do not think of men above that which is written. God's Word is what I put my faith and trust in, not brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. It's a great lesson for us today. But when I look at Galatians chapter 2, I'm reminded of another very, very important lesson. And that is that Christians sometimes do not act consistently with what they believe or preach. Might be a shocker to some, but there was hypocrisy in the church. Jesus rebukes the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23 with a scathing rebuke where he uses the word hypocrite several times. He says they go out and say stuff, but they don't do it. So they preach, 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 but they don't practice what they preach. It is so bad, Paul writes in Romans chapter 2, it is so bad among the Jews in Romans 2:21 that their hypocrisy causes people to blaspheme God. You say, don't commit idolatry, but you go rob temples. Don't commit adultery, but then you go do that kind of thing. You're causing God's enemies to blaspheme. Hypocrisy does great damage to ourselves and to the Lord's church. Let's always practice what we preach, and let's always preach what we practice. The Greeks, in Galatians 2, we have this word hypocritical. The Greeks used this word to talk about, the word literally means under judgment. But the Greeks used it for plays. When a person would stand up on a stage and go through a play, they had a mask on and they had clothes on. And they were going through this Greek or Roman play. And they would come out dressed in their costumes. And when a person had a mask on, they would call him a hypocrite. Because they talked about it as being under the mask, speaking from underneath something. So here's a mask out here, and I'm speaking from underneath this mask. I'm a different person back here behind the mask, and what you're seeing is different than what's behind the mask. They would use it for Greek and Roman plays in theater. They would call the person up on the stage a hypocrite. They're speaking from underneath the mask. We don't need to speak from underneath the mask. We don't need to be a Christian at Warfield Boulevard with a mask on the outside and wear something else underneath. Paul tells Timothy that in the latter days some shall fall away from the faith, and look at what one of the problems is. The problem is hypocrisy. Giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of demons through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies. People are drawn away by hypocrisy, and that's what Galatians 2 is all about. Even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. It carries people away. It not only hurts ourselves, but others around us. And so in that same chapter, I find it interesting. Look at 1 Timothy 4, verse 2. We need to guard not just our doctrine, but also our practice. Our doctrine and our practice have to be a good example. Let no man despise your youth, but be an example to them that believe in word and in manner of life. Your words have to match up with your actions. So, it's very easy to preach one thing and practice another. Verse 16, take heed to yourself and to your teaching. To yourself and to your teaching. Teaching and self, it all has to match up. Word and manner of life has to match up. And let's make sure that we have that going on in our life. When I look at Galatians chapter 2, 11 through 14, I see another lesson. And I see that a Christian can sin in unexpected, uncharacteristic ways. When you look at the track record of Barnabas, he has a spotless track record, starting all the way back in Acts chapter 4, coming through Acts 15, all of these things that he's done, the giver, the defender, the exhorter, and all of these things that we've talked about. And then, what in the world happens in Galatians 2:13? Well, even Barnabas is carried away by the hypocrisy. Well, where'd that come from? Boy, that was way out from left field. Whew, where'd that come from? And it's a lesson, brethren, to let us know that things can come up in an unexpected, uncharacteristic, unfashionable way that doesn't match up with our past life. And then, boom, all of a sudden you see, well, where'd that come from? It lets us know that we must always keep our guard up. This was not characteristic of a man who just before had stood up for the Gentiles there in Jerusalem. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2, but back up a little bit. We learn something else about Barnabas when he was there in Jerusalem in Acts 15. When he was there with Paul, look at Galatians 2 and verse 1. I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus with me. This man, in Acts 15, not only did he stand up with Paul and rehearse all of the things that they had done among the Gentiles, but in Galatians 2, 1 and following, he was there when they refused to circumcise Titus. We're not going to do it because it is not a condition of salvation. And look at verse 5. We gave place, we, Paul, Barnabas, we gave place in the way of subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. And not only that, but come on down to verse 9. When it came time to leave, Peter gave them the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and Paul to go out and preach to the Gentiles. You've got a man who in Jerusalem stands up for Titus, stands up for the truth, shakes hands with Peter and says, we're going to go preach to the Gentiles and they don't need the law of Moses. After doing all of that, he's carried away with hypocrisy. It's very uncharacteristic of Barnabas. But we can learn from the lesson. And that is, the devil is looking for a moment in our life where we will do the unexpected. Don't do that. This is the passage I mentioned earlier in Matthew 26, 21, with Peter, James, and John in the garden. Watch and pray. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Don't you think that you can ease up for a second with the devil. Always stay vigilant. Always. And in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Always, always, always be vigilant in every situation that you're in, because it may be the devil is going to use a situation to get you to do something that is very unexpected and very uncharacteristic of your normal situation. Even Barnabas was carried away. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours. When I think about this passage in Galatians 2, I think about the lesson that sin is sin. And it's worthy to be addressed and rebuked regardless of who commits it. When you look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11, but when Cephas or Peter came to Antioch, I resisted him to the face because he stood condemned. Sin is sin. If Peter commits it, he needs to be condemned. If Barnabas is carried away by hypocrisy, he needs to be called out for that. Jesus said in Luke 17:3, when your brother sins, rebuke him. He doesn't say, when a certain brother sins. He doesn't say, when a certain brother sins, rebuke him, but others in the local church are hands off, don't bring it up, don't ask, don't tell. They're popular, they're well known, etc. He just said, when your brother sins, rebuke him. Wait a minute. You can't do that to the wife of so-and-so. Do you realize who she is? Oh, yes, you can. Wait a minute, brother. You don't realize who this brother is. He's the one that gave the money for the church building. He's the one that donated the property for the church. You can't be calling out his sin. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 20, Paul tells Timothy that when the elders sin at the mouth of two or three witnesses, when they sin, they are to be rebuked in the sight of all. That's even the elders. We would pray that that would never happen. We would pray that someone who is well known and important in the church would never do something like that. But if the moment came where that had to happen, would we do it? There's a lesson learned that sin is sin, and it's damaging to anyone, and the right person who is humble enough will appreciate that rebuke. Peter rebounded from this occasion and continued to be faithful to the Lord, and toward the end of his life, he writes a book, two books, 1 and 2 Peter, and in 2 Peter, he extols Paul in a high way. No doubt he appreciated this gentle, loving condemnation to bring him back to the fold. And Barnabas continues to work with the Apostle Paul. So the right person will appreciate a firm but kind rebuke to bring them back to the faith. Even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. I hope we can learn some lessons this morning to make sure that we always have the character that we need to have in any given situation. There may be something that comes up tomorrow at work or school or somewhere else or down the road. Let's always be ready to faithfully serve the Lord and learn from this great man, Barnabas. If we can assist you this morning in baptizing you into Christ, if you need to come back to the Lord in some way, we can help you to do that. Why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?